Thank you, Pastor, so much. How much I appreciate being here. I preach in this church in this same conference back. Is it not on? Oh, is that better?
Not on, Brother Ryan. Good deal.
Okay, thank you. One thing for sure, you want to be on when you stand up here. And my, what a meeting already. I'm very, very excited about the rest of the meeting, what God is going to do. The music has been exceptional. I love that song about that freedom and that great, that tremendous. Thank you. All the music this morning has been good. Brother Burnett sang a song that I really like, but I haven't heard it in years. I was there when it happened. So I guess I ought to know. I'm glad that he makes the difference.
Amen.
And I want to say to the church, you have a beautiful building. Now, when I preached here before, it was when Brother Jacob was the pastor. And but you have really made a beautiful sanctuary. And it's great. And thank you so much for all the labor and the prayer and the giving that has gone into having what you now have. And I didn't get to eat part of the meal until we got back to the motel. My wife and I dug in to that barbecue. That's very, very good. And so I hope you're not too hungry. It's we're an hour later than normally. And so just think about that. There's only one thing I like about daylight savings time. One thing. And that gives you an opportunity to sacrifice an hour of sleep for the Lord Jesus. And he sacrificed a many of an hour of sleep for us. One place in the scriptures is said that he prayed all night. All night. And so I'm so thankful that the pastor invited me. Last year he called me and I said, I can't come. I'm supposed to be in Arkansas that week. And Alabama. And so he said, well, I want you next year. And I said, okay. So a fellow from Alabama called me, and I said, buddy, I can't come. I've already signed up to go to Mississippi. So I'm glad to be here, glad to see many of you that I've had the privilege to preach before. And there's Miss Sharon. I owe you an apology. I saw you last night serving, and I thought, well, when I go by, I'll get a chance to talk to her. And when I went by, I don't know what happened to her. So I didn't get a chance to say hello, but we sure appreciate this fine sister in the Lord and all of you. And Pastor, I want to say, I don't know. I've been in a lot of meetings. I preach anywhere, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 camp meetings a year normally. And but I don't know a better meeting that started off the way this one has. I think it's as great of a send-off for a meeting that I've ever been to. You just can't improve on preaching on the gospel. And then I was thinking something when Brother Burnett got up and announced his text and said what he was going to preach on. You don't have a clock here.
So,
okay, all right, honey. All right, when I've been up here 2.5 hours, you wait. Now, you know how long I normally preach, so you wave me off. I've got one of these you just can't get done, like Brother Burnett. But I'm going to tell you something about him. He said, you can't get all of this said, but he made the greatest stab at it that I've ever heard. It was full. you'll need to get that CD or tape or whatever of this meeting and hear that again and again and again. It's jam-packed. It's tremendous. And I appreciate the good preaching. Appreciate being here, all of you that are present. The Lord bless you for coming. And so I want to ask you, if you will, to mark Acts 26. If you'll just mark that place. That's not our text, but the Lord willing, we're going to be going there. Acts chapter 26. And I want to highlight a doctrine that's much overlooked, and we'll incorporate that, the Lord being our helper, with what we have to give to you. And I appreciate the Lord touching my heart with this text, and I hope it will prove out to be a blessing unto you. Now, the first verse of our text, Brother Burnett read it. In fact, I don't know anything I could have preached on that he didn't touch somewhere. Do you? And the gospel is a well-rounded subject. And so I appreciate it so very, very much. I'm thinking of the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 4, when Luke wrote that the apostles, with great power, gave witness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And then here comes that Holy Ghost conjunction, that Brother Renee, and great grace was upon them all. So wouldn't it be wonderful if great grace just fell upon this meeting, touched everything, and let the lost see God's grace in reaching down and giving them an opportunity to be saved. Wouldn't that be something? And we that are trudging along the pilgrimage, that the great grace would be poured out upon us and we could continue on in faithfulness. So I want to point out, if you want a 3 points outline, I'll give you one. The first verse of our text, we're going to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and the first verse, I want to read that, and then I want to give you a 3-point outline we find here. Okay, but verse 9, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. There's 3 things that come out to me in this verse of Scripture. And Brother Burnett talked much about it. First of all is his humiliation, and how that he was made. That's important. If he was made a little lower, he had to be much higher. And of course he was, because he created the angels. An angel is a created being. And the Lord Jesus had created them. And then for the suffering of death. And then notice not only his humiliation, but his coronation. Crowned with glory and honor, and that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, the proper term here is commutation, but that's not a word you hear often. So what I would do is substitute the word substitution here. And what is that? The word commutation means exchange. A good old hillbilly term is a swap. And the Lord Jesus took our suffering upon himself when he was on the cross. And so we look what we get, and then you measure that up to what he got. So I say, what a swap that was made. Amen. Glad to know that I'm saved. Verse 10, and it became him, I want to deal with that word later, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make, there's our word again, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. 6 times in our Lord's high priestly prayer, recorded by John in the 17th chapter of his gospel, we find that Christ prayed that we might be made one as he and the Father was made one. 6 times he prayed that. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name among my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him. Now that's a good word, because it actually means, according to Mr. Webster, to be under obligation to. That Christ, God Almighty, felt himself obligated to save poor, lost, helpless sinners. That's amazing. It means to owe. It means to be in debt for. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like, there's our word again, 3 times, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, this simply means that God just did not reach down through Christ and grab man. But it means that the sacrifice that Christ made gives God the opportunity to look upon sinners in a favorable condition. Not sin, but the sinner himself. God looks upon it in a favorable condition. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Will you please pray with me and for me? Father, we are so thankful this morning to be in your house, to have our souls nourished as they have been. Thank you for the great preaching we have heard. Thank you for the comments of the pastor, which only has added to what has been preached and said. Thank you for every song that has been sung, those by the congregation and those by Brother Burnett. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Now I pray that you will help me to be faithful in what you've put upon my heart. I ask my prayer in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen and amen. I want to lift a portion of the 17th verse and use it for our text, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. How important that is for you and for me. Christ has 3 offices that are so important to us as believers. Number 1 is a mediator. Number 2 is an advocate. And number 3 is a priest. And the priest is one who offers sacrifices after sin has been committed. And so God did not only save us from our sins, as we have so wonderfully heard already, but He is saving us from our sin. We did not quit sinning when God forgave our past, because we have a sinful nature which so many times gets the best of us. What are we going to do with that? That's what the trespass offering was all about. Amen. The sin offering was made that we might have our sins atoned for, but we've got a problem. We didn't quit sinning. We still sin. And thank God, I got a text this morning from a gentleman that evidently read one of my books, and I may have been in 1 John, where there, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That advocate, boy, how important that is. But anyhow, I wrote this in my exposition of that. Sin should always be accidental in the life of a Christian, never intentional. And so he quoted that to me, so I know where he got it, and just left it. So I appreciate that so very much. But we do sin. But aren't you glad we have an altar? Amen. We have an altar. Amen. We have a priest that goes in before God in my and your behalf. Now, in the book of Romans, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read you some excerpts from these verses, along with what we're hoping to arrive at as our text. In Romans 3, verses 21 through 26, we find these words, "All have sinned." Amen. Amen. All races have sinned. All men have sinned. All women have sinned. All have sinned. And then we also read in those verses, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's verses 23 and 24. Then we can go to the book of Ephesians, and out of verses 4 through 6, I just want to read some excerpts here. "He hath chosen us in Him." Okay? Now, God chooses no one. I got in trouble for this. God chooses no one except they be in Christ. And that was God's man whom He sent into the world, the Son of Man, that God might choose out a race, if I can say that, of people, of redeemed people. Then also in these verses, we read this, "having predestinated us." Now let me stop there. That word "us" is important. There is predestination has nothing to do with the lost. It has to do with the saved. Amen. God never predestinated anyone to go to hell. Man goes to hell by his own choice. Aren't you glad we got a choice? We can choose Christ. Amen. And I'm so glad that I did. Okay, and then watch this. Now, I won't deal these three words just in a minute. "But unto the adoption of children." Hallelujah. "Predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He hath made us accepted in the beloved." And I want to say this, that God is holy. And that you don't hear a whole lot about holiness. Holiness is not a movement. Holiness, amen, is what is required out of you and I to go to heaven, without which no man, Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 12, without which no man shall see God. Amen. We can't even see the Lord and know the Lord without being made holy. And of course, all of that was done, as we have so wonderfully heard this morning and last night through Brother Burnett. Amen. That we could be made accepted in the beloved. Okay? Now, God is holy. And no matter how much He loved us, and He does love. I heard a fellow preach in Chipley, Florida, something I've never heard before, but I can't find anything to argue with it in the Scripture. And I want to say that there's a whole lot of things when I pastored I didn't like, but I didn't preach against them because I didn't have any Scripture for it. Amen. I believe this book ought to be our guide, don't you? Amen, I really do. But I heard that preacher say this, well-known preacher, one of the best, I guess, for lack of a term, one of the best exalters of the Lord Jesus Christ I ever heard preach. Every time he preached something about Jesus. He was tremendous. And he said this. He said, God loves sinners. And he said, even though a sinner rejects Him, He loves him. And when that sinner is burning in hell in all eternity, God's love will still be toward that man. But you got to remember, now I know I had to think about that a minute, okay? How could God love a sinner that is burning in hell? Well, number one, He can't help Himself. Because God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Isn't that right? But no matter how much He loved us, He could not save us because He did love us. If it only took the love of God, which many churches and many people have rested in the love of God. But God's got more than just love. Amen. God is holy. And I want to say this, I believe the wholeness of God governs every attribute that God has. Amen. Even though He loves sin, if it was just love, the whole world would go to heaven. Amen. But there's something else involved here. God is holy. And His holiness, amen, must not be violated, amen, by sin. Amen. No matter how much God loves man, He cannot save him. Amen. He could not allow sin in His presence. In other words, He could not save a sinner with his sin. I got in trouble again, Brother Ernest, when I preached this. But you remember when the angel announced to Joseph about the birth of Christ. He's talking about Mary. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Now this I think pertains to God's people. Let the unrighteous what is that? In Isaiah chapter 55. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Amen. And let him return unto the Lord. I think that's dealing with a Christian, with the saved, with God's people. And if God expects you and I to forsake our way and we already belong to Him, what does He expect out of a sinner? He expects a sinner to be saved. Now listen, I don't want to get off on the wrong foot here, but I'm going what this book says, not what some doctor said. Amen. And not what some doctor says that God meant by a certain thing. And this thing of repentance has, amen, this thing of repentance has been redefined by a lot of people. Repentance means exactly what it said when the Holy Ghost wrote it down. Amen. Sure it is. And I remember sitting in Arkansas many years ago, and Brother Larry Raines was sitting on a second seat back. My wife and I sitting on the third or the fourth, and this one fella got up. He was talking about repentance. What does repentance mean? And Brother Rain said, turning. And there was a fella also sitting on the front seat, a big doctor. He turned around like that, like he didn't appreciate that at all. Now, he got up the next night, and he preached on John 3:16, and everything he preached was exactly right. But the fellow that's preaching on repentance was exactly right, too. Amen. We don't pull out one verse and build our doctrine upon it. We take all that the Word of God has to say about it. Now, if you marked Acts 26, I want to show you something here. And I have, don't kick me out, I have a Scofield a study edition of the Bible. That's what I was given when they ordained me in Florida a long time ago. Okay? And so I like the paragraphical divisions. I learned where it was, and I just stay with it. Okay? But Mr. Scofield misses it. Dr. Carpenter taught us in Bible class this. He said, you stay, amen, what's outside the lines. And you'll be doing all right. Amen. And that's what he carried. In fact, he carried a red Bible, red, color red. He said, every Bible ought to be red. And then he laughed, you know. And that's exactly right. But are we in Acts chapter 26? I want to show you something that Paul is giving his defense before King Agrippa. And he says to open their eyes, verse 18, to turn them from darkness to light. From the power, there's the word turn, okay, all right, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Well, if I'm reading this right, that's the only way they're going to receive forgiveness of sin, all right, and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then let's look down to verse number 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now, there's a group that says faith is for the Gentile, but repent was for the Jew. Paul said, Paul's preaching to the Gentiles here. Is that not right? Amen. And I don't know, a lot of people have confused others as to what the Bible says. But the Bible said that angel told Joseph that he shall save his people from their sin. And I've said, and here's where I got in trouble, Pastor, when I said God never saves anybody with his sin. He saves them from their sin. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. God is holy, and he cannot allow sin in his presence. Amen. Now, notice here, God is holy. Number two, if God loves sinners and God's going to save sinners, he must devise a plan which would, number one, remove the sin. You see, we have a sin problem. Something has to be done with sin. This is a good man. 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 Because I know these men. This is a good man. This is a good man. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, all of us together cannot take one sin away from anybody. Amen. Dr. B.R. Lakin said it like this. He said, I'm not going to go and whisper through a wall to a man that's dressed like mama and wants to be called papa. Amen. He said, I'm just not going to do that. And I'm telling you, no man has any power to forgive sin. Only God. Is that not what Jesus said when he said to that impotent man upon that bed? When he said unto him, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the religious hierarchy said, this man's blaspheming. Who has power to forgive sins? And Jesus said, I could have said just as easily, take up thy bed and walk. I could have said that. Or thy sin. But I wanted you to know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin on the earth. He's the only one that ever has been. Amen. And Lord, I don't want to get off on that. So he had to remove the sin. How's he going to remove it? He's got to take it away. He's got to take it to a place that he'll remember it no more. Amen. How's that going? But the only way that can be accomplished is that sin that man has committed has to be paid for. Amen. Sin is not going to be allowed in the presence of God. Let me say that again. And so sin has to be paid for, so it would take away, just like a debt that's canceled. Amen. When you owe a debt and you pay it, that debt's paid and it's done. It's gone out of the way. And our sins had to be paid for. Who's going to pay for sins? Who's going to do that? Can I? Can I do enough good works? Amen. To overbalance? Don't let me leave this. I don't want to come back here. I'm bad about. That's why I carry notes. I was at my dad's years ago, and he was a subscriber to Reader's Digest. And so I just looked at it, and it had something about an interview with this Muhammad Ali. And I thought, well, I want to read that interview. So this woman was interviewing him about what's going to happen to him when he dies. Because, you know, he said he'd converted to Islam. So that's why he changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. Okay? And so she asked him. And he said, well, he said, when I said I get to heaven, God's going to weigh my works. And said, if my good works outweigh my bad works, then I'll get to go to heaven. She said, well, what if they don't? He said, I guess I'll go to hell. Now, wouldn't that be some way to die? Number one, remember that crowd in Matthew 7 said, have we not done wonderful works in thy name? Have we not done those? What is a wonderful work? And he shall be called wonderful. There's the work. That's the only work God's going to accept. It's going to have to be accepted. Wonderful works done by the wonderful one. And that's the only one that there is. Okay, boy, I'm having a hard time getting going here. How am I doing, honey? All right. He's got to remove the sin. Boy, aren't you glad? And when we go back to the Old Testament, and you're exactly right. All through the Old Testament, I heard this black preacher preaching. He said, I'm tired of these people bringing half Bibles to church. He was talking about the New Testament. This, all of this is God's Word. Amen. Just because it's a New Testament does not mean we do away with the old. A man was arguing me one time, and I was working at a lumber company in Knoxville. And a man was arguing with me, and he said, well, he said, the law's been fulfilled. I said, that's right, so it's done away. I said, no, it's not done away with. I said, number one, that's the Word of God, brother. That's eternal, settled in heaven. Amen. And so, anyway, that sin had to be taken away. So in the Old Testament, if you remember, that high priest took this sacrifice. It could have been a lamb, a goat. It could have been a bullock. It could have been a bird. It could have been a meat offering, whatever it was that was offered. And he confessed the sin of that person on the head of that goat or that lamb or that bird or whatever. And that bird was innocent. That goat, sheep, whatever, it was all innocent. It had done no sin. But the offender, the guilty one, had done the sin. And that priest had the ability, amen, from God to transfer that guilt of that offender on to that innocent animal. Now, the offender is innocent, and the animal is guilty, and the animal dies. That's why the importance of his death. Amen. Because in eternity past. Hey, nothing slips up on God. Amen. Eternity past, God confessed the sin of the world upon the Lord Jesus, and Jesus had to come and die for the sin, and he did die. And so when he died, now everyone who puts their faith and trust in that death of the Lord Jesus in their behalf, his burial, his resurrection, all three of them are important, are included. When that faith is in him and all that he did, we're saved. And by the way, faith is more than mere believing. Faith is belief and trust. Amen. I don't only believe it, I'm leaning on it. I'm trusting in it. Amen. I'm leaning on Jesus. Remember that song? That's exactly right. That's all I've got. I got a good woman. Godly woman. But she couldn't save me. But the Lord saved both of us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. So God had to do away with the sin. All right. So he had to. This is in eternity past. And this too deep water. Amen. It's waters to swim in. Amen. But it's not waters to dive in, because you're not going to get to the bottom. But somehow in eternity past, God devised this plan. Calvary never took God by surprise. You've heard that over and over again. Never took God by surprise. He knew it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Somebody said, well, Adam had to eat of that fruit. No, he didn't. That was the foreknowledge of God telling him what was going to transpire and what would happen if it did transpire, and that exactly that it did. Amen. So God had to devise that plan. Somewhere in eternity past, amen, God chose. Here's what I think about salvation. God chose a divine standard. We have to let the pastor here straighten us or bring us out, okay? But God, amen, in eternity past, devised a method where that he may save man. DeWitt Talmage said it like this. What an orator that preacher was. And he said this. He said, God out heard in the distance a moan and a groan. And God, you know, he's building this story. And God checked into that moan and that groan. And he said it was coming from helpless mankind. They're lost. And God said, I got to do something about that. And he said, somebody's got to go and pay the penalty for that poor lost human race. And said, the angel stepped up and said, I'll go. And he said, no, you can't go. And so several angels stepped up and said, well, let us go. Let all of us go. We'll all go. And we'll pay that debt. And God said, no, you won't do. I've got to go myself. And he came in the person of the Son. Amen. And he said, then the angels gathered around. And they said, God, please don't let the Son go. Don't, because he's the object of our worship. Don't let him go. And he said, he's got to go. So God came to earth in the person of a Son. And as he was leaving, the angel said then, Jesus, how long are you going to be gone? Of course, he wasn't Jesus then. He was the Word. He was the King. You know that. But anyway, they said, how long are you going to be gone? He said, I'm going to be gone long enough that I shed every drop of blood that's necessary for lost mankind to be saved. Amen. That's exactly right. God confessed that. He chose Calvary as a standard. And hear what else that you talk about election? Okay. If you're saved, you're in the elect. I got in trouble again. I said, don't you fellas, don't you, I stay in trouble. I said, don't, I didn't go back to that meeting. But I said, don't you fellas worry about getting somebody that's not elected saved. I said, and by the way, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen. Because this to be preached to every creature. Isn't that right? And God elected, chosen, if you want to use that term, chosen in Him. Isn't that what it said? Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world. Isn't that what it says? All right, God chose everyone that would accept His divine standard of Calvary for the means of salvation before you were ever born, before I was ever born, before there was ever, I think, before there was ever a grain of sand or a firmament for the fowls of heaven to fly. God had it all worked out. Devil's been trying to mess it up ever since. But when that sinner comes to Christ, amen, there are enough devils in hell to keep him from coming and being saved by the grace of God. Oh, what a mighty God you and I serve. That's enough, amen, to serve Him, just to know of His wisdom and His power that He has. So, to remove the sin. Number two, to rescue the people. Boy, I love that song, that freedom. And listen, to remain holy and just while He's doing those things. He's removing sin. He's rescuing the people. Amen. And He's remaining holy and just through it all. That's Romans chapter 3, too. You can read the verses there. Justification. I'm getting close. Okay. Justification is a legal term. Justification is when God justifies a man. And if God justifies a man, no one can ever unjustify him. And the devil, the accuser of the brethren, can bring all the charges, amen, who shall lay any charge, amen, to the elect. Who can do it? Amen. You can say all you want to say. The devil can say all he wants to say. God says he's justified. And it remains like that. It's a legal term. God declares us to be righteous. Amen. And that it means to announce. It means to affirm. And it means to make known officially, legally. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. We that are saved by God's grace have been brought to court. The charges have entered in against us and we have been found guilty. But before the sentence is passed, amen, somebody steps up. So I took care of that at Calvary. So we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God. The good grace of God. So God has declared us just. Let these charges be put on my account. Three words that I read here out of Romans 3 and Ephesians 1 was redemption, adoption, and accepted. And all these words are very important. The word redemption means liberated through the payment of a ransom. And who paid that ransom? Only one. Only one. And that's Christ, and He paid it. The second word is the word adoption. All right? Placing Him in a legal position as a son. We have been adopted. Now, I'm sure you've heard this. But I heard it years ago, and I haven't forgotten it, down in Tampa, Florida. A man said there's three ways to get into a family. Number one, you can be born into it. Number two, you can be adopted into it. And number three, you can be married into it. So every person who is saved have has passed all three of those things. That's a three. And what is it, a threefold cord? Not easily broken. Amen. Maybe it said a twofold. I don't know, but I'm saying threefold. It's not easily broken. Amen. Somebody said this, said one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. I don't know, but adoption. Amen. And we have already received. Now, some of your preaching, I can't remember exactly what you said, but you said something along the line of, I'm already there, I feel at home, and yeah, and that's my permanent rest, residence and all. And every person in here that's saved, every one of you that's saved, if you know anything about being a Christian and reading this Bible, when you fall on your knees or when you're washing dishes or driving a car or whatever, and you say, Our Father, there's no doubt in your mind that He really is your Father and that you are His child. Amen. Why? Because we have been positioned by the Spirit of adoption, which we have. And then Paul writes on farther in Romans chapter 8, waiting for the adoption to wit. Amen. That means when we become full sons of God and displayed before all the world as, these are my trophies of grace. Amen. Where He's reached down and saved us by His wonderful, wonderful. And then look at this thing here of accepted. Now this is strange, but I'm telling you what the interlinear gave about this word accepted. It means to pursue with grace, to compass with favor, and to honor with blessings. That's what we are in God. God pursued us in His grace, and then He compassed us with His favor. And since then, He's been honoring us with His blessing. Well, I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Amen. I'd rather be saved than to be anything, hadn't you? Amen and amen. Well, let's stand together, and I'll turn the service back to the dear pastor. Thank you, brother.